Good morning. So the chorus of the hymn that Carissa and Dave were just playing says, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Is that why you're here today? All right, we're here to rejoice. Has God done great things? The song says, great things he hath done. How many of you know that God's done great things for you already today? Whoa, good. The rest of you, you can catch up later, okay? All right. I'm sure he's still working on doing some great things for you. All right. If you have a bulletin, open it up and let's take a look at it. Not a whole lot in the bulletin. Just want to highlight some things. This morning after the morning worship service, we have church family dinner. Hope you're planning on staying and joining us for that. There's some on the bullet, some announcements on the back of the bulletin. And so don't forget about the 50th anniversary for the church. And so if you haven't signed up for that yet, please make sure that you do that and so that you can do that. Sunday, August 16th is the deadline to sign up for the activities for that whole week weekend. And so you need to be able to make sure that you do that. There's more information in the bulletin. If you haven't got one, make sure you do one on the way out. Well, I'm so grateful to be here. And I know you are too. So should we get after it? Let's go, worship team.
Would you all stand with me this morning? We have a couple of song sets here. Some songs that go together. Some traditional and contemporary. So see if you can find them out.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Here we go.
Singing hallelujah. There's no chains on me. Thank you, Jesus. You have set me free. You welcomed me in, called me by name. Was dead in my sin. Now I'm dancing on that grave. Hallelujah. It really is amazing grace. T'was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious it that grace appeared, the hour I first singing hallelujah. There's no chains on me. Thank you, Jesus. You have set me free. You welcomed me in, called me by name. Was dead in my sin. Now I'm dancing on that grave. Hallelujah. It really is amazing grace. I'll testify of what he did. He gave me life. I'm born again. My heart is free. My soul is saved. It really is amazing grace. I'll testify of what he did. He gave me life, I'm born again. My heart is free, my soul is saved. It really is amazing grace. Hallelujah, there's no chains on me. Thank you, Jesus. you have set me free. You welcomed me in, called me by name. Was dead in my sin, now I'm dancing on that grave. Hallelujah, it really is amazing grace. It really is amazing grace. It really is amazing grace.
Give the Lord a round of applause. He's worth it. Yes.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, break from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Yes, praising my Savior all the day long.
Please be seated as we continue. Lord, I just want to thank you today. I want to thank you for your amazing grace. I want to thank you for the blessed assurance that we have, because your promise is as good as gold. Lord, when you said we can have eternal life in exchange for faith, you meant it. And Lord, we believe you. Thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious that grace appeared the hour I first believed. yours. Be will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. We've no days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. If I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. If I told you my story, you would hear love that never gave up. If I told you my story, you would hear life, but it wasn't mine. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and when mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of Him. If I told you my story, you would hear victory over the enemy. And if I told you my story, you would hear freedom that was won for me. If I told you my story, you would hear life overcome the grave. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and when mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of Him. This is my story, and this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, and this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. For the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and when mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of him. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of him. This is my story, and this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Lord, that is our desire, is to live for you, to praise you, not just in word, but in deed. Lord, our life, may it be marked by your life. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. As rushers take this morning's offering, we got one more fun song for you.
I was dead in my transgressions, wandering in sin. I went searching for redemption down a road that had no end. I was walking through the fire, I was living on the run with my flesh lost in desire. I was drowning in the flood, but God, rich in mercy, you came to save me. Now I'm alive, my God, strong and mighty. You reached out for me so I could rise. Now I'm alive. I am far from being perfect. There are days that I regret. On this battlefield I struggle with the lies that I have lived. I have fallen short of glory. I can't make it on my own. If you kept record of my past, I'd be sinking like a stone. But God, rich in mercy, you came to save me. Now I'm alive. God, strong and mighty, you reached out for me so I could rise. I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out. I was in the grave, but God, you called me out. Call me out, but God, rich in mercy, you came to save me. Now I'm alive, but God, strong and mighty, you reached out for me so I could rise. And now I'm alive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 3. And as we go through the message this morning, I want you to be reminded of part of this song that we just sang. But God, rich in mercy. But God, strong and mighty. Genesis chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 11 through 13. So the most popular game in the world has been played by every human being ever born. It's called the blame game. Now, there probably is a game that's older than the blame game, and that's hide and seek, and we saw that last week, right? As we saw Adam and Eve trying to hide from God, how'd that work out for them? And we learned that because it didn't work out for them, it's not going to work out for us either, because God is a pursuing God. He's not a forgetting God. Even when we're in our sin, he still comes after us. He still pursues us. And what we do with that is up to us. He doesn't leave us abandoned. He doesn't forsake us, even when we sin. But the most popular game in the world has been played by every human being ever born. It's called the blame game. You ready for some bad news? Most of us are experts at it. The problem is that it's not just a game. It's a reality. And it's ruptured relationships and fractured countless families. And the blame game is alive and well in our lives. Remember that after Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, one of the first consequences of sin was shame. So they tried to cover up that shame by sewing some itchy fig leaves together. And after this, they heard God walking in the garden, so they ran for cover. The shame of their sin caused them to hide from God's holiness. Instead of fellowship with God, now the fruit of their disobedience brought distance between them and their Creator. And after covering up and attempting to conceal themselves, verse 9 here in Genesis chapter 3 shows us God's pursuing heart as he called out to Adam, "Where are you?" God comes to this sinful couple, and instead of driving them away, he drew them out of their hiding with grace and compassion. And by the way, he still does that. He'll do that for you, and he'll do that for me. Last Sunday, we celebrated how God loves to pursue us, not with vengeance, not with hatred, not with punishment, not with condemnation, but with his grace. Man, I need that. I think we all need that. So this brings us to our text for today. Hopefully by now you found Genesis chapter 3. Follow along as I read verses 11 through 13. God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Do you hear what Adam did? Do you hear what Eve did? What did they do? They played the blame game. Sin often influences us to shift the blame. When we give in to temptation, when we fall into sin, it is so easy for us to fall into playing the game, the blame game. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. We're going to talk more about that as we go through our sermon this morning. So God continues to draw Adam and Eve out of hiding with two questions found in verse 11. The first was indirect and was given to bring about a confession. Who told you that you were naked? This is a rhetorical question, given to help Adam link the shame of being naked with the guilt that comes from disobeying God. You know, our culture is so quick to demean guilt. But true guilt comes from God, and it's a gift which prepares us. Are you ready for this? For God's grace. The second question follows immediately and is more direct. Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? Now, the word order of this question in the Hebrew is interesting. The word order goes something like this. Did you, from the tree which I commanded you not to eat from, eat? You know what it sounds like? It sounds like an attorney in a courtroom, right? Wanting verification. I understand that because from January to June, I spent every other Tuesday in a courtroom listening to prosecutors bring about evidence to us as the jury. And so it's interesting, isn't it? God said, "Did you, from the tree, which I commanded you not to eat from, eat?" Man, that doesn't leave a whole lot of room for unreasonable doubt, does it? Does it, Dave? It kind of gets to the heart, right, of what's going on. God was inviting Adam to acknowledge that his shame was a direct result of his sin for a reason, so that he would acknowledge it. God was reminding Adam that when he ate of the tree, he was deliberately disobeying the one clear command that's recorded for us in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. God said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. God didn't leave anything out. God didn't watercolor this. He didn't water it down. He made it very clear. Do not do this. And if you do this, there are going to be consequences that I never intended for you to be able to have as part of your life. Don't do this. Whatever you do, don't go there. But as we'll see, Adam was very uncomfortable answering these questions. He would rather do what? Shift the blame. Minimize what he did and make himself out to be a victim. Sound familiar? Instead of running behind a tree, they hid behind five actions and attitudes, which are still common today. And we use them as well. Our attitudes and actions. Now, before we go much further, let's collectively agree that we're just the same as Adam and Eve. We're not any different. We've had centuries to perfect the blame game, and most of us might qualify as expert gamers. As we study these verses, let's hold up the mirror of God's word so we can see ourselves as we really are. Spoiler alert, we might not like what we see. So here's the first attitude in action. We accuse others. Instead of answering God's yes or no question by owning up to what he did, Adam did some gaming and went straight to blaming. Look at verse 12 again. The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." The first person Adam blamed was Eve. Actually, he called her the woman, no doubt to distance himself from her. Now remember, when God took the rib out of Adam and used that rib to form Eve, and then when the surgery was over and he woke Eve up from the divine anesthetic that he had used to perform the surgery, he brought Eve to Adam. Remember what Adam's response was? Remember, we looked at it in the Hebrew. Whoa, man! That's where we get the word woman from. Whoa, man! Now, right, he's sinned. Now he's playing the blame game. So who's the first person he shifts the blame to? That woman. Oh, you ever done that? That woman. That person. Oh, that was a really good friend of mine, but now that person is the one that was responsible for the reason why I sinned, for the reason why I did what I did, for the reason that I do the things that I do. The first person Adam blamed was Eve. Adam tried to pin his sin fully on Eve. Look again what it says in verse 12. She gave me fruit of the tree. God, I didn't pick it off myself. God, I didn't touch it. God, she picked it off. She took a bite, and then she gave it to me. Wow. If it weren't for her giving the fruit to him, he would never have feasted on the fruit. That's what he wants God to understand. Hey, are you devious and defensive like Adam? Maybe sometimes. Listen. The only thing some people learn from their sins is how to blame them on others. Let me say that again. The only thing some people learn from their sins is how to blame them on others. Let's stop blaming others for our sins. Don't play the game. Own your sin. Here's the second action. We charge our sin to God. Just as it is common to accuse those who are close to us to excuse our sin, Adam does something even more terrible than that. Look again at verse 12. The woman whom you gave me. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to put the emphasis there. Oh, yeah, I did. You gave me this woman. It's amazing to see Adam playing the blame game with God. What's he saying? God, if you wouldn't have given me this dangerous woman, I never would have done it. We could read it like this. That woman by my side, she who was given to me by you to be a helper and completer, she gave me the fruit. You know what? That's still going on yet today. God often gets blamed for the choices we make. God, the reason why I did this was because you don't give me enough. The reason I do this is you don't provide enough for me. My satisfaction in you is not enough. The assurance that I have that comes from you, that I am your child, that I have eternal life, not enough. The things that you tell me in your word that I shouldn't have as part of my life, those are the things that I want. You know what? Paul, the writer of three quarters of the New Testament, the one that God had sent out to start churches all over the throughout the known world, he had that same thinking. The things I want to do, yeah, those are the things that I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, yeah, those are the things that I do. The only difference is Paul didn't blame God. Paul owned his sin. He owned his choices. Adam was trying to blame God for what reason? To alleviate his own guilt and shame. And you know, those who charge God with their own sins have a tendency to become angry and bitter. And do you notice something? Adam uses the word gave twice. First, he said Eve gave the fruit to him. And second, it was God who gave Eve to him. Adam is implying that God is the one responsible for what happened. Can I clue you in on something, folks? You get to that point in blaming God for your sin, you're on dangerous ground. When you imply that God is the one responsible for what's taking place in your life, don't play the blame game. Own your sin. Here's another action and attitude. We point to our circumstances. In this passage, there's another excuse found in a phrase Adam used when he blamed Eve. Did you pick up on it? To be with me. The woman whom you gave me to be with me. This is the idea of pointing to situations or circumstances as reasons for sinning. God, if you had not given her to me, I wouldn't be in this place. I wouldn't have done what I did. You put this circumstance, you put this situation, because you put this person into my life. This is the idea of pointing to situations or circumstances as reasons for sinning. And when we do this, it might sound like this. Everyone else is doing it. Everyone else is doing it. You ever use that? You ever use that with your parents? Well, how's come I can't go and party all night? Everybody else is doing it. How's come I can't drink a little bit? Everybody else is doing it. How's come I can't drive my car fast? Everybody else is doing it. Or here's the second one. I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. You ever use that one? There are people who know how to do this just like Adam did. I'm going to say that again. There are people who know how to do this just like Adam did. They repeat how others have mistreated them to justify what? Their choices. They view the world as hostile and unfair to them. They see each grievance as a treasure to add to their collection. They pile these up. They store them up. And whenever it's convenient, they're able to pull them out of the memory bank of their brains. They can't remember what they had for lunch yesterday, but they could remember all of these hurts. They could remember all of these excuses. They could remember all of these situations and circumstances. Why? Because they've used them as treasure to add to their collection. They have a hidden need to feel wronged. They live by the idea that life should always be fair to them. On the old TV show Hee Haw, I'm not going to ask you how many of you have ever seen it. On the old TV show Hee Haw, a patient tells Dr. Campbell that he broke his arm in two places. The wise doctor replied, "Well then, stay out of them two places." If you're doing things that are in you, that are wrong in your life, you know that God's word what does not want those things, those attitudes and actions to be a part of your life, then get rid of them. Don't do them anymore. Yeah, I know, that sounds easy. But you know what? Romans chapter 6 says that sin doesn't have to control our lives. Sin no longer has to have dominion over our lives. We can avoid that as believers. And by the way, this list that I just gave you about how people repeat, how others have mistreated them, how they view the world as hostile and unfair, as they see each grievance as a treasure to add to their collection, how they have hidden need to feel wrong, how they live by the idea that life should always be fair to them. This isn't just for unbelievers. This is for believers as well. As believers, we're just as good at doing this as unbelievers. It doesn't make any difference. Isn't that sad? Because the Bible makes it clear over and over again that for us who are believers in Jesus for the promise of eternal life, there are different expectations for us than for those who don't believe or don't yet believe. And yet, what do? We live with the attitudes and actions that they do. There are places and situations we need to stay out of. When we are in a time of temptation, we can't use that temptation as an excuse to sin. You might want to write that down. When we are in a time of temptation, we can't use temptation as an excuse to sin. Don't play the blame game. Own your sin. Here's another action and attitude. We blame Satan. God asks Eve an important question. Verse 13, "What is this that you have done?" Notice he doesn't say, "What is this that you and Adam have done?" He says, "What is this that you have done?" The question has the force of, "What in the world have you done?" Instead of owning her sin, Eve plays the blame game. Remember what she said? "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." She tried to attribute her sin to the evil one. Now, this is classic. You know, "the devil made me do it" defense. Now, while this phrase was popularized by comedian Flip Wilson over 50 years ago, it really goes back to the Garden of Eden. What is Eve saying? "The devil made me do it." Flip Wilson used to do that to get laughs. Eve's not doing it to get God to laugh. She's using it to shift the blame. Adam blamed Eve. Adam blamed God. Eve blames Satan. Wow. You know, Satan is the catalyst of our temptation, but he's often given way more credit or blame than he deserves. Yes, it's true. Satan tempts us. You ready for this? He can't make us do anything. He's not all powerful. He's a created being, and as a created being, he has limitations. When he comes knocking on our heart's door, when he comes knocking on our mind's door, and he brings that temptation into our life, he cannot make us act upon it. We make the choice. So when you give in to temptation, it doesn't even hold any water to blame Satan, because it's on you. It's on you. It's on me. It's always been that way. He can't make us do anything. But yet, some people are certain that the devil is behind their actions, and therefore they are not responsible for what they do. Now, to give Eve some credit, she didn't blame God or Adam. She admitted she was deceived, but she did shift the blame to Satan. She got involved playing the game. Don't play the blame game. Own your sin. Here's the last one I want us to look at this morning. The last attitude or action. We talk around what we have done. We talk around what we have done. Now, when we go back to the text here, we see that both Adam and Eve finally admitted they ate, but they didn't acknowledge that they had deliberately disobeyed God's clear instruction. At the end of verse 12, Adam said, "And I ate." Eve reluctantly admitted in verse 13, "And I ate." Really, you know what they're doing? They're talking around what they've done. We use words to talk around the seriousness of our sin. Remember, God takes sin seriously, and so should we. Here are some words that come to my mind. Moral failure. Oh, I didn't sin. I just failed morally. Mistake, flaw, error, problem. I don't have a sin problem. I just have a problem. Indiscretion, oversight, shortcoming, slip up. Oh, I didn't sin, I just slipped up. Sounds a lot better than saying I sinned, huh? Misstep, blunder. And there's probably more that I didn't even bring out this morning. One way we can change this is to use words that God's word uses, to use words that the Bible uses. Instead of saying, "I stretched the truth," it's better to say, "I just sinned by lying to you." Oh, I just sinned by lying to you. Sounds a lot more heavy than, "Oh, I just stretched the truth." There's no stretching the truth. There's no little white lie. In God's category, lying is lying. Sin is sin. Instead of saying, "I have a bad temper," it's more accurate to say, "I just sinned against you with my angry words and actions." Instead of saying, "I had an affair or a fling," it's more biblical to say, "I committed adultery." Instead of saying, "We hooked up," it's more biblical to say, "I sinned by having intimacy outside of marriage, as defined by God within the marriage covenant between one man and one woman." It is much better to call sin what it is. Until we acknowledge that we've sinned, we won't experience God's forgiveness, and we will continue to live with our shame and our guilt. So if there's something that I want you to take away from this morning, it's this. When we don't own up to our sin, it will own us. When we don't own up to our sin, it will own us. And when we are silent about our sin, it will consume us. Those are not places God ever intended for us to be. Those were not places that God intended for Adam and Eve to ever be. But that's where they found themselves. And to try to justify, to try to water down what it is that they had done, what did they do? They played the blame game. What do we do? The same exact thing. We can't blame anyone else for our attitudes and our actions. So if we can't blame them, because God doesn't buy that, then what do? We own it. We own it. We own it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these verses from Genesis chapter 3. Thank you for this narrative of Adam and Eve. Father, there are so many lessons for us to be able to learn. And Father, these lessons go counter to what we've been conditioned to be able to do as human beings. We've been conditioned by our environment. We've been conditioned by other people that when we make mistakes, when we sin, Father, when we fall into temptation, when we do what it is that we know that your word doesn't want us to do, we are conditioned to blame someone else. And Father, sometimes we even go so far as to blame you. Father, I'm going to ask you to help us to change that attitude and to change that action. And Father, to bring each and every one of us to the place to where we own our sin. Because when we don't own up to our sin, it owns us. When we are silent about our sin, it will consume us. Those are not places you ever desired and still don't desire for us to be. Father, we need your help. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit to be able to help us be the children of yours that you desire for us to be. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with me for this final song? We're just going to sing it one time through, real simple.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son,